Hello and welcome to the German New Medicine Stories podcast. May listening bring liberation and lightness to your healing journey. Please note that nothing that I or any of my guests say here is or should be misinterpreted as medical information or advice. These are personal stories, not prescriptions. In this episode, I talk with my friend Bibo, who I actually just got the chance to meet on my trip to Portugal. And we talk about how German New Medicine has influenced her as a mother and how she shares this information with her two girls and what a different childhood it is to experience symptoms without fear. And we touch specifically on returning fevers, UTIs, and an eye infection. Hope you enjoy.
So I've got three children who are 18, 8, and my youngest is just about to turn 5. And up until my son being 10, I was very, very subscribed to what I refer to as the mainstream narrative, which was, you know, he'd received all his pokes. I would administer, you know, ibuprofen and paracetamol. I think you guys call it Tylenol or something, you know, religiously whenever he had a fever. And then the birth of my daughter ignited me, because there were so many unnecessary interventions, there always are in these situations, that was sort of ignited me into looking at alternative medicine. So my youngest two children have been raised, you know, completely organically. I think we refer to it as, you know, no pokes, no medicines, anything like that. But I did always have a really well-stocked alternative medicine cabinet, like I would have in, you know, elderberry juice, oregano oil, so many different vitamin C's, like silver, just all of the, you know, all of the usuals. Manuka honey, I could drop so much money on manuka honey that it was ridiculous. And the I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but is it liposomal vitamin C? Those were two things that would like break my bank, and I'd blow so much money on them. And that's where I was. And my sort of, to summarize my story of what happened, but during 2020, I made the very quick decision to take my two youngest daughters and to take us out of the UK. And we went to Crete, and then we went to Portugal and lived on a commune. And we left the commune, I say commune in inverted commas, because it was a cult, and I will come on and do another talk about that if you ever want to have me. But I left this commune in January 2021 with my two young daughters, and that's when sort of everything that I'm going to talk about now happened. So I'm this, you know, like I said, I just left this commune, which was a very barefoot, you know, organic, natural immunity. I was very in that place of, you know, I refer to it as terrain theory, you know, keep the terrain clean. We must keep the terrain clean. And if you keep the terrain clean, nothing will ever grow and you'll be fine and healthy forever. And this is how you cure everything. Crack on. And, you know, it made a level of sense to me, but I was still noticing that my girls would routinely exhibit sort of various symptoms that people will put down to, you know, kids picking up viruses, so runny noses and coughs and the occasional fevers. And I was a big believer in and that this is the body's natural detox. This is a natural detox. The trees shed their leaves, you know, we go through, we're cyclical creatures. And I still do believe this to a degree, but that's what I would sort of chalk up all of these all of these symptoms to, you know, it's, oh, we've had too much sugar this week, that's why the kids are, you know, have got runny noses or certain things like that. And then in January 2021, we embarked on what later would become known as us living in 10 Airbnbs in the space of 12 months. And it was a really, really challenging time. As I'm sure
anyone... How old were your girls at that time?
So Tabby at this point is 7 and Lola's 4. And it was super, super stressful. You know, I remember one month we could only find somewhere that was in this high-rise building, and, you know, you'd get You'd get shouted at if you didn't have a mask on in the elevators. Mm. All the communal spaces absolutely reeked of these harsh chemicals. And I was finding it really, really difficult. And what started to happen was my daughter Tabby started exhibiting symptoms, the primary one of which was this high fever. Mm-hmm. Now, like I just explained, my kids had been, exhibiting symptoms like this before, and I'd whip out the silver and the oil and the honey and the bone broth and all of the above, and things would always shift after 72 hours at a max. Mm. Sometimes quite intense long nights because I co-sleep with them, but nevertheless they would shift, and this time it didn't. It would maybe break occasionally for give her a few days respite, and then we'd move again, and then the temperature would break again, the temperature would start again. And it was, I believe that you always get what you pray for. And when I first started to believe in terrain theory, it was like a redemption for me, because I'd lived in so much fear. Mm. I remember the constant fear I used to have around my son catching. What if he catches meningitis? What if he catches? I was constantly in that mindset. And when I started learning about terrain theory, it was like a redemption. And I'd prayed for a deeper understanding of how we heal. Mm. I'd been consistently praying for that. And I was suddenly finding myself co-sleeping with my seven-year-old, holding her hot, hot body on mine. And she'd go quite delirious and she'd be talking in her sleep. Mm. And the stuff that would start going through my head, I started believing all the things that I've ever read trolls write about me. I was like, you're being negligent. You need to seek outside help for this. You need a doctor's opinion. But these were the blocks that started really coming through for me. And it was really me having to dig deep and say, finding the time to nourish my nervous system in a time like that, so I could tune in and really ask myself. And I still got that primal voice coming through, sometimes fucking quietly, but she always came through. And it's like, no, you know what's going on here. There's something deeper going on here. And I'm ashamed to say that the breakthrough never came for me during those 10 months. I supported Tabby through everything with just this consistent co-sleeping. And I'd stroke her to sleep every night, telling her that she was safe. It never rocked I never reached for the pharmaceuticals or the doctors. But it wasn't until we managed to secure our dream long-term rental property in in Portugal, and it is paradise. And there's another little girl who lives right next door, who's the same age as Tabby. And what did happen was we moved into this house on the 11th of the first 2-2, so right at the start of this year. And as soon as Tabby got her own bedroom and was able to have this space that she knew she wasn't going to be moved from, that she could call home, an entire switch got flicked. And I literally, that was when I really started reading everything I could possibly find about German New Medicine, because it became so obvious to me. I didn't have the word for it at the time. I now know that it was a conflict shock, but I didn't have the word for it at the time. It was trauma. I was causing her trauma, which is essentially one and the same, but I prefer the term conflict shock, because I think it's more indicative of what's going on in your system, because it is a shock. And that was when I started reading everything I could about it and understanding it more. And it was those 10 months were my baptism by fire, because I think it was something you shared yesterday on your stories, but I was like, yes, that's what used to confuse me, was when I started doing everything right.
Right,
And I was still seeing sickness. And it was like you said, and then I'd start hearing about these organic women who are doing everything that I believe cures cancer, and they're still getting cancer. And I'm like, what the fuck's going on? And it was actually a book that I also read during those 10 months that shifted everything on my head for me. I don't know if you've read it, but it's a book called The Journey by Brandon Bays. And it's not about German New Medicine, but she doesn't realize it, but it kind of is. But she was very organic living and, doing all the right things. And she got diagnosed with an enormous tumor. And she convinced herself that this was nothing but, she said, I knew that it had to be something to do with my emotions because right. I was doing, and she really went on this, well, on this journey. And sure enough, she cures the tumor or heals the tumor by delving deep in and healing all of these unresolved conflicts. But I also read that book at the same time, and it was just, I think it's that thing, isn't it, when the students ready, the master will appear. As soon as I started really asking for answers, you know, Melissa Sell starts coming across my radar, and I just started going deep on YouTube about any lectures I could find on it.
I mean, it's a really beautiful story. And I think, like, such a common one, hey, of doing all of the right things and still being sick. And then I love too, like, all the different ways that we like rationalize it too. Like, oh, I ate sugar today, or I ate out and it must have been the seed oils, or
it's almost a it almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. At one point, and I realized I'd also programmed my kids to feel that way, because it was like, why do you know, if we'd go out to eat and obviously they'd ask for something, I'd like, no, we don't, I don't want you to eat that because it'll make you sick. So I'm dictating it to them. So then, of course, Tabby will then inevitably end up eating a, you know, portion of seed oil French fries because she's a kid and kids order the French fries, right? But then she does feel sick afterwards, but because I've already told her she's going to.
Totally. Yeah.
It's like, this is your man, you think, just when you think you've got it nailed, you just get this next layer of, you actually know fuck all. Start again.
Totally. And somehow, like, it's still, it just has to happen that way, right? Like, you can only,
there's no way
off to layer one at a time.
Otherwise, I was never gonna learn it at this, like, without these lessons. That was such a ridiculous, obvious statement to make.
But totally. Everyone has to pass through the, like, spending thousands of dollars on supplements and, you know, all of this stuff before they can find German medicine.
The zinc and the iodine and the magnesium and the manuka honey and the elderberry and the oregano. It was like just this never end. You know, I'd convinced myself that I felt differently if I missed taking something, or and another thing I convinced myself of was that if something was very obviously irritating me, I could almost talk myself into believing it was a necessary detox symptom.
Why don't we shift into the UTI story?
Okay, so this one fascinated me. So I talk about this openly on social media. I don't know whoever's listening to this, if you're familiar with my story, but I'm 42 years old, actually 42 today, the day Freya and I are recording there. And from the ages of 19 to 34, I worked as a sex worker. And I would suffer UTIs, or specifically what I guess you'd class as cystitis, pretty much after every sexual encounter. There's an antibiotic called trimeprazine that's given out for UTIs that I took so many times I became naturally immune to it.
Oh my god.
And UTIs became a big thing in my, you know, so I was susceptible to them and all the other bullshit that you tell yourself. And then I met the father of my two daughters, my incredible ex, who is just one of my fucking favorite people in the world. I can lick that man held so much space for my healing journey. He deserves some form of award. But he was the first person that I felt really safe with, and he was the person that helped me sort of say goodbye to the whole sex industry, not only say goodbye to it but see some worth in myself. And I never ever got UTI with him ever. And we broke up in March of 2020.
Did you when I'm curious, like, after so many years of having UTIs and then with him not having a UTI, like, did you make a link point in time?
Not at all. Okay. Not at all. I assumed I'd maybe grown out of it.
Okay.
Because I'd always been fed all this bullshit that it was to do with like your bladder feeling bruised.
Okay.
And that used to ring true to me because that's how it used to feel. And I just used to assume it was to do with just having sex with this now just one person and being in this monogamous relationship.
Yeah.
I assumed that was the shift, but I wasn't putting it again down to anything emotional. I was making it a purely physical, like, oh, my vagina must be happy now she's only got having one penis, this must be why not getting utilized anymore. It was more of that kind of level of thinking,
right? Which I mean, in a way, like it is true, like it's a rudimentary sort of,
well, yeah, you know, it's sort of true. I wasn't making the connection. It was still so he and I broke up in March of 2020, just before we went into lockdown.
Yeah.
And I then left the country, and I decided when he and I broke up that I was going to be consciously celibate. And that was it. I wanted to do some serious, serious healing. And I did. I remained celibate until he came to visit in August of this year.
Uh-huh.
So that had been a good 2.5 year celibacy period. And he came in to visit us, and what had happened was I adore this house that I'm in. As I've just said to you guys, I'm straight off my fucking vision board, and I feel so safe and so secure here, but it's mine. It's mine. And I don't even like, my landlady made me laugh because when I moved in there was hardly any furniture, and she said, oh well, there's only one chair, there's one armchair in front of the fire.
Yeah.
And she said, I'll get you a sofa from the charity shop. I said, oh, please don't. I said, I don't, there'll never be anyone here to sit on it. I don't want people in my house. I just fucking one armchair is fine. They would never. And I'm really, I fucking adore this space. It's mine. Mm. And he came to visit, and we were intimate, and I got this fucking UTI afterwards. Oh God. And of course, by then I'm this GNM devotee, and I'm like, right, what's the fucking reason?
Yeah.
And that one fascinated me about, so as I understood it as well, the way, I think it was one of the Melissa Sell lectures that I watched on this, I might have even interpreted this wrong, but it sounded really cool when she said it, but it was to do with the with how the tissue adaptation occurs when you feel that you're in this territorial conflict.
Yeah.
And she likened it to how dogs piss around over everything when they're wanting to mark their conflict. And she said in the basic primal adaptation that's happening is that your bladder's trying to create more space to hold more urine.
Yeah.
So that you can mark more. And honestly, that's how it felt. If I could piss all the way around my house to mark the territory for people not to come in, I would. And I'm hoping that I can resolve this before, because he's coming to visit about a week and a bit. And I'm still quite in this conflict phase because I love him dearly and I love having him in my space, but I don't like anyone in my house. So I'm sure it runs probably much, much, much deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's obviously all this sex worker territory shit I've got to work through as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not holding out much hope that I'm not going to see it through till 2023 without another flare up, healing process, healing journey.
Right. And like, that's okay, because it's whatever happens. Like, I mean, this time you'll be even more aware of like the moment when the UTI starts and like what's leading up to that. And
from the airport, I need a wee. Uh-huh. So I'm not holding out much hope right now.
Yeah, but it's also like it's such a beautiful self-exploration. You know, the point is not to never have a symptom again. It's just your relationship to that symptom is so different.
I like to rephrase all of these now as invitations.
Yeah.
They are invitations to look deeper into, you know, what inner conflict have I still got, you know, that's
yeah
that's brewing, that's there, because I always thought the main cause, I've always sort of used the sex work almost as an excuse. Mm. It's almost been like, well, obviously there's trauma there. I was a hooker. But what's coming through for me now is, it's like, yeah, but Biba, why? Mm. Like, there's only, like, what trauma did you experience before 19 that made you think, mm-hmm. what conflict shocks occurred before 19 that made you think, that's a good idea? Because mm-hmm. it was a very conscious idea that, you know, I wasn't on drugs, I wasn't destitute, I wasn't homeless, I was a very attractive, educated 19-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I still made the conscious decision of, this is a good idea.
Right. Right.
So that's something I'm exploring now, is like, why?
Yeah, which is so beautiful. Like, instead of reaching for all of your supplements and, you know, all these different, I ate too much sugar and so I have a UTI, you know, it's like this deep self-inquiry instead.
And it's funny you said that. That was another thing I used to blame a lot of, because obviously what happens as well is, so I had, like I said, I battled UTIs for 10 years. So specifically when I'm specifically dealing with one and you're in a lot of discomfort, you get on mm-hmm. Google. Yeah. You start looking for anything. It's, this irritates, fizzy drinks irritate it, caffeine irritates it, sugar irritates it. Yeah. So I'd repeat all that, and those had become the self-fulfilling prophecies. You know, I'd have a twinge of one and then I'd drink some Coke and I'd be like, fuck, I've exacerbated it.
Yeah, yeah.
All of it just becoming, you know, what I'm telling myself and what I'm telling myself is true and not.
Totally. Well, I'm curious to see what happens and like what new awareness you potentially discover this time when your ex comes to visit, and like what, you know, whether it's this visit or whether it's like 10 visits from now, but like what the shift in perception or the, you know, going back and you know, healing childhood trauma. Like, I wonder what is the piece that will cause just the shift in self-concept that means that, you know, you're just like not a woman who will get a UTI anymore.
Yeah, that's exactly, that's mm-hmm. where I want to be. And that's the invitation to just keep,
mm-hmm.
just keep looking. And I just, it's such a, I'm becoming so much more aware of, well, as the power of cellular healing.
Mm-hmm.
And how the deeper I do the work on myself, I see it resonate out to my children.
Mm-hmm.
I see shifts in them, and it's just, it's so beautiful. It's felt like the missing piece for me.
Yeah. How have you have you had a lot of conversations with your children about German New Medicine? So since you've kind of had this pivot, when they have symptoms, like how do you navigate that with them?
So I've always referred to, I was always very conscious about the language that I refer, and this was sort of pre-2020, which I'm so, this must have just been a download from God, because I don't know why I came up with it. But I've always been careful with my language around my kids when it comes to illness. I've never said you're sick. I've never said you've caught something. Mm. I've always referred to it as your body's going through a healing process.
Huh.
And that was before. No, actually, I didn't. Before, I used to say to them, your body's going through a detox. And I used to compare it to how the trees shed their leaves.
Hmm.
And I'd say, we don't need to go around helping the trees shed their leaves. The leaves are just getting rid. The trees are just getting rid of what they don't need. And that's what's happening when your nose is running or when you're coughing or when you've got this rash.
Yeah.
That's how I've always explained it to them. And so when I discovered German New Medicine, I've actually only shifted. Hmm. I've shifted the word detox to healing.
Mm-hmm.
Your body's going through a healing process. I mean, during those 10 months with Tabby, when she would be sporadically, you know, on and off having these temperatures, I'd still then, all I've ever done when my kids are exhibiting symptoms, I just reassure, I literally repeat mantras of like, you're so strong. I can't believe what a strong, healthy body you've got. And so whenever they're drifting off to sleep, they're just repeating that in their heads. And there's, it's, I've always been conscious about that, because 2020 highlighted that for me. You were fucking indoctrinating every kid around that they could catch stuff.
Yeah.
and that symptoms are something to be scared of. I've always taken the mindset with my kids that symptoms are something to be welcomed.
Yeah.
Like, how brilliant. Like, let's listen. I think I've shifted the language there as well. I'm like, what do you think our bodies are trying to say? Mm. I've also started incorporating a little bit of that. What was a good example was, so my son visited recently, and I got this sort of, my eye became really inflamed a few days before he was due to leave. And the girls watched that play out, and they understood the correlation between him leaving and me exhibiting some form of physical symptom. They were able to understand the sort of timing of it, of how it was.
Right. You were having a separation conflict, and they were like living that
yeah,
reality.
But I was explaining it in such basic terms of like, mummy doesn't want to see Seb leave.
Yeah.
And so mummy's eye trying to protect her, because even Tabby turned around and went, "Your eye's so clever."
Oh, wow.
She's like, it's a homemade
part. That's just so, like, it's so simple that she said that, but right? Also so profound. Like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, she compared it to a homegrown eye patch. Wow. Like, your eyes growing an eye patch. But we go over the example with scabs. A scab is a brilliant fucking example to use with your children. So we are barefoot and up trees, and I mean, Tabby cliff dives for fun. Yeah. My anxiety levels are sometimes through the roof. You've got to love and nourish nervous system if you want to raise kids. But they get so many cuts and all the rest of it. And when a scab forms, we take great pleasure in looking at that and being like, look, your body's grown its own plaster.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, and I think that's why she came up with the, you've grown your own eye patch. Because we,
I
think
mean, that's
that,
fucking brilliant though. Like, that's right? That's literally what your body was doing in a way.
It is so true. Well, it comes, there's that, they say if you can't use a real life example to teach your children something, odds are they don't need to know it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my sort of ethos with educating my children, is we don't do anything other than explain what's going on around us. And if you slow down and do just observe, you know, I wish I'd had that understanding of my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was terrified. God, I was terrified of cot death, of meningitis, of all these horrendous things that new mums are terrified into, when, you know, we should have been taught from day dot what all this means. But we know that we should be ministers of health for the world. We'd change it, wouldn't we, Bella?
So what ended up happening
with women, so we're not allowed.
What ended up happening with your eye? So your son left.
So my son left, and I know that I've still got a lot of conflicts there. I still feel guilt and shame about a lot of the way things have turned out, and a lot of things when decisions I made. So again, it's just been another invitation to go a lot deeper. I've spent a lot of time sort of just rewriting the story in my journal and also in my head, and writing letters to him that I'm not necessarily ever going to send. But so again, just what a beautiful invitation to uncover stuff that I had really, really buried. Like, you know, just small mistakes that seemed so insignificant at the time, but that you later realize, you know, oh God, how could you be so fucking stupid? So again, it was an invitation to just really sit with what I've done and with how I want things to be, and how grateful I am for the lessons that I did learn, you know, for all the mistakes I made. The mistakes that I know, you know, the reasons I'm now so anti-vax. I know other women that were, you know, weren't that lucky. They made the same mistakes I did, and I've got a thriving 18-year-old strapping young man that I can still wrap my arms around. And I know so many people on that side of the, who made the same mistakes I did, who don't have that luxury. So it's just been, again, another beautiful opportunity. And the more I journaled on it, and the more I went deep with it, you know, it soon cleared up. I think it was like 5 days in total.
Yeah.
So again, just, yeah, and I just love talking the girls through this and having them see it and having them experience it. And it's just, your body is not the enemy.
It's not.
Thank you for listening. You can find Biba at Biba_Tanya and me at Freya Kellett. Please reach out with any questions or personal stories, and stay tuned for more.